Ephesians 4, verse 17. I don't have a page number for the church Bible. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, 17. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light and makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Amen. This is the Word of God.
Well, good morning, church. It's good to be here. One of your members told me, "I love your accent. I hope it's a long sermon tomorrow." Well, I am one who doesn't want to disappoint. So if you've got meat in the oven, it may be burnt. No, it is very good to be here. Thank you for the warm welcome Tim and myself have received from you. The Spirit of the Lord is here this morning. It's wonderful to be united, to be partners in the gospel with a Bible-believing church, a gospel church. Now we need to pray. We need to ask God to speak to us, because the devil is very active, I think, especially in this part of the service. He is ready now. What is this part of the meeting? When the word is being preached. The word is the seed and it's being scattered. And what does the devil want to do? He wants to snatch it away. He doesn't want us to have it. He doesn't want us to produce fruit. So we need to pray that we will be good soil this morning, that God will speak to us. Let's talk to God and ask Him to talk to us. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You that You are a speaking God, that You want to communicate with Your people, with Your creation. And I pray that You'd make us all good soil this morning. Open our minds, our ears, and our hearts to receive the word. And I pray that we'll all leave this place today rejoicing, changed people, producing fruit. Please speak to us for Your glory. And in the name of Jesus, we ask You this. Amen. Will you please turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 18. This is God's word. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Do not get drunk. God's word says, do not get drunk. Is drunkenness a problem in our society today, in your society today? Now, I was in the airport in Bristol on Friday, waiting for our flight, and I wanted to buy a newspaper, a Scottish newspaper, just to find out what's going on in this beautiful land. And the only Scottish newspaper I could find was the Daily Record. To say I was a little bit disappointed would be an understatement. But there were a few little interesting stories there. And I didn't need to read much into the newspaper until I found two stories on drunkenness. A 19-year-old man had been arrested for buying alcohol to three children from the age of 11 and 12, who went on a drunken spree, shouting abuses towards people. A few pages later, a football fan had been arrested for being drunk at a football match. Drunkenness is in our society. And this statistic I found on the internet is quite sad. Do you know how many people die in Scotland every year as a result of excessive drinking? 1,596 women die each year from drunkenness in Scotland. 2,127 men die every year from excessive drinking in this land. That is 6 people a day die in Scotland from alcohol. 6 people a day. When you get to bed tonight, maybe think about it. 6 people died today for drinking too much, excessive drinking, from drunkenness. Well, why do people feel that they need to get drunk? We go out on a Friday night in the city centre of Swansea to tell people about Jesus. And very often the people's reaction are, why have you come out here tonight to judge us? And we say, we haven't come out here tonight to judge you. We've come out to tell you good news about Jesus. Or you've come out here to point a finger at me for getting drunk. And maybe we'd ask them, well, why do you feel the need to get drunk? We haven't come to condemn you, but why do you feel you need to get drunk? And it's interesting what people say. I have to get drunk because I just can't cope. I can't cope with the stresses of life. Some people say it gives me peace. Getting drunk gives me peace. Some people say I enjoy the joy that drunkenness gives me. And some people say I just can't help myself. I don't like getting drunk, but I can't help myself. Some people say it gives me confidence. I feel like 10 men when I've had a few drinks. And some people say I'm just bored. It's something to do. And in a way, they're legitimate reasons. I don't mean to sound crude, but what does drunkenness lead to? Debauchery. It leads to pain. It leads to more heartache. And it leads to death. But what's the alternative to getting drunk? Being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has an answer to all those things. If someone says, I can't cope, I'm too stressed, the Holy Spirit can give us peace. If someone says, I need joy in my life, the Holy Spirit gives joy in abundance. If someone says, I just can't help myself, the Holy Spirit can give us self-control. The Holy Spirit gives us confidence. He gives us boldness. He gives us power. And if someone says, I'm just bored, the Spirit-filled life is anything but boring. You read the book of Acts, when the people are filled with the Holy Spirit, it's the most radical, dangerous, exciting life. The Christian Spirit-filled life. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. So how do we get filled with the Holy Spirit of God? That's the question. And I believe there's a difference between the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit. If you're a child of God here this morning, if you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're a child of God. And the Holy Spirit does live in you. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit. But we need to be filled every day by the Holy Spirit. We need His empowering presence every day. Why do we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? If the Bible tells us that we should be filled with the Holy Spirit, why? Why do we bother? Why do we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, I've got a few P's here, just to help us to remember. My first P for why we should be filled with the Holy Spirit is that we can produce fruit in our lives. What does it say in Galatians 5, verses 22 to 25? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. How many of you here this morning want to be a loving person? want to be a kind person, a gentle person, someone full of peace and patience. You'd be foolish to say that you didn't want that. To produce fruit, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. My second P is proclaiming. Proclaiming Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian here this morning, you want to tell your friends, you want to tell your family members about Jesus. You don't want to see them go to hell. In order for us to proclaim Jesus Christ, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We can't convert anyone. I can't make someone a Christian. The Holy Spirit has to work. He's the one who shows people their sin. He's the one who shows people their need for a Savior. He's the one who opens blind eyes. He's the one who makes people born again. We need to be filled with the Spirit to proclaim Christ. We also need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we're prepared for works of service to build up the church. Now, Jesus, in his kindness, has given the local church spiritual gifts. He's poured out his Spirit on the church so that we all have spiritual gifts. If you're a child of God this morning, you've got a gift of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you haven't worked out what it is yet. It might be teaching a Sunday school class. It might be playing the piano like Graham, singing like Charlie. All types of gifts. Maybe one of the greatest gifts is exercising hospitality, something that I've noticed very much in the church already. In order for us to exercise our spiritual gifts, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe there's an ungodly way of serving a cup of tea. Have you ever seen a cup of tea or coffee served in an ungodly way? Sometimes it's almost thrown over you, isn't it? We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to serve tea, even to do the hoovering. You can do that in a bitter, resentful way, cleaning the toilets. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, so we do it in a way that glorifies God. My fourth P is praying. How many of you find praying easy? I'm glad to see no hands went up. Praying is hard work. And it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, that we are to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to pray. And also to praise. If we want to sing loudly and joyfully, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We are to worship in spirit and in truth. I believe it's the greatest need of the Church of the Living God in this land today, in these lands today, in the Western world today, to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, to know his empowering presence. So how can we be filled with the Holy Spirit of God? I've now got three C's, so we can remember it easy. Three brief C's. My first C is a confession of sin and a cleansing from sin. What does it say in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30? And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now, the Holy Spirit is quite sensitive. He doesn't like sin. He doesn't like sin in our life. So we need to confess our sin and ask for a cleansing. What does it say in Psalm 51, verses 10 to 12? Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 says that the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us or cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is there a sin that you're holding on to in your life this morning that needs to be confessed, that you need cleansing from? Maybe you've never come to that point where you've confessed your sins to the Lord and that you've found forgiveness. Is there anything that you've said, thought, and done, and you feel dirty? Does it haunt you in the night? Do you think, I can't believe I said those things. I can't believe I thought those things. I can't believe I did that thing. I can't believe I went to that place. Confess it this morning and ask for a cleansing. The blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. It doesn't matter what it is. There is power in the blood of Jesus to clean us. Well, you might be thinking, well, what sort of sins need confessing? Well, there are the sins of omission. There are things that we should be doing, which we aren't doing. We need to love God. If we're not loving God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, then we're not obedient to the first and greatest commandment. A lack of love for God needs to be confessed. We need to be cleansed from that. Unbelief. Jesus says sin is not trusting in me. This is the world's sin, that it refuses to trust in me, believe in me. Unbelief is a sin that needs to be confessed, that we need to be made clean from. Neglect of the Word of God. The Bible is our daily spiritual food. If we go without reading the Bible, then we will starve spiritually to death. Another sin of omission is a neglect of prayer. Prayer, I liken to breathing. Do you not breathe? Anyone here this morning not breathing? Maybe a few of you have stopped breathing, I'm not sure. But if we stop breathing, we die. It's the basic thing. We need to keep talking to God. Pray to Him on all occasions. And then there are the sins of commission, the things that we do which we shouldn't do. Ephesians 4:31 says, Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. We need to confess sin. We need to be cleansed. You know what your sin is. You know what it is. Confess it to the Lord. He is faithful and just and will forgive you. And He can give you the peace. He can give you the joy. My second C is consecration. Consecration. What does that mean? It means to be set apart or dedicated. Have you ever told the Lord, I want to set myself apart for you? I want to be dedicated to you. I'm sure you've heard of a ram of consecration. It's like an offering, isn't it? We tell the Lord, take my life, take my talents, take my abilities, take my possessions. I'm handing them all over to you. I surrender. I give up. Take me, Lord. What does it say in Romans 6, verse 13? Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your bodies to Him as instruments of righteousness. Romans 12, verse 1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Have you offered yourself to the Lord? Have you said, I yield, I submit, I give up. I'm going your way now, Lord. I don't know how many of you maybe wrestle here. It's quite a popular sport in America. Proper wrestling now, not the WWE pantomime stuff. But in order to win a wrestling match, the other opponent has to give up, has to surrender. But if we give up or surrender, very often, you've been defeated. You're the loser. But to gain victory in the Christian life, to be victorious in the Christian life, that's exactly what we have to do. We have to surrender. We have to give up. We have to say, God, I give up. I yield. I surrender to you. All to Jesus, I surrender. I surrender all. Now, Tim used to live with me. I don't know how many of you knew that. And when Tim asked me, Dav, I've heard that you've got a spare room in your house. Would I be able to become a lodger? And I said, yeah, of course. Yeah, come round, have a look at the house, see what you think. And I bring Tim in through the door. I said, there's the bathroom. This is how the shower works. And I take him into the living room. I take him upstairs. Show him the bedrooms. I take him into the garden. I show him the shed. And then we go back to the living room. I said, so what do you think? And he said, well, what's through that door over there? I said, well, that's the kitchen. I can't show you that room. You won't be allowed in there. And Tim would say, why can't I go into the kitchen? If I'm going to come and live with you, I'll have to go into the kitchen. That's where the fridge is. That's where the food is. You know, that's where the washing machine is. You know, that's where the kettle is. That's where the cooker is. It's the most important room in the house, the kitchen. Why can't I go into your kitchen? Well, in the kitchen, I like to keep my pet crocodile. Do you think Tim would want to come and live with me? If you're keeping a pet crocodile in your kitchen, I'm not coming to live with you. I know it's quite amusing, but don't we do that with the Lord? We tell God, God, you can have all my house. You can have my kitchen. You can have my bedrooms. You can have my living room. You can even have the shed in the garden. But Lord, the attic, I'd like to keep that to myself. It's only a tiny little room. I want to keep something for me there. And God says, no. Either I'm Lord of all, or I'm not Lord at all. We sometimes keep something for ourselves, maybe something dangerous. And God says, no, surrender all. I want all of your life. Give it up. God offers us something so much better, doesn't it? Are you holding back on God this morning? Are you holding back on him? He wants everything from us. It's like the story of the little girl who reached for something at the bottom of the vase. You've all heard the story, I'm sure. And her hand got stuck in this vase. It was priceless, worth thousands. And her parents tried to get her hand out of the vase. They tried everything. They tried butter. They tried persuading her. They even called the doctor over. And the doctor said, the only way this girl's hand is going to come out of that vase is if we break the vase. And the parents said, the vase is priceless. It's worth thousands. And the father went to his little daughter and said, listen, sweetheart, will you please just relax your hand so daddy can try and take your hand out? And the little girl looked at her father and said, but daddy, if I relax my hand, I'll have to let go of that penny I'm holding on to. What do you think the father did? He went into his pocket, he took out a shiny silver and gold £2 coin and said, let go of that dirty old penny and I'll give you this. Straight out came the hand. Are we holding on to a dirty old penny in our life when God is offering us something so much better? The spirit-filled life, a life of brilliance, excitement, joy, peace, victory. That's what the Lord offers us. We need to surrender all to him. We need to consecrate our lives to him. And then the final step, the third step, is a calling. We need to ask. You've heard the term, you don't ask, you don't get. What does it say in Luke chapter 11, verses 9 to 13? So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We need to ask, and we need to receive the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. Well, you might be thinking, well, how do I know if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit? You'll be producing fruit in your life. You'll have power to witness, and you'll be prepared for works of service to build up the local church. What could happen? What could happen if all of us in this room this morning were filled with the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit of God? What could happen to Inverness? What could happen to Scotland? What could happen to the world? We know so little of the Spirit-filled life. Many of you, I'm sure, would have heard of John Hyde. He was a Presbyterian preacher in America. Do you know him, David? No? Well, John Hyde was on his way to a mission station in India from America. When he was on board the ship, he received a telegram. And this is what the telegram said. Are you filled with the Spirit? He was known as a great Presbyterian preacher, and his first reaction was, as he crumpled the telegram into his pocket, the audacity of someone sending me, John Hyde, a telegram asking me if I'm filled with the Spirit. Of course I am. I'm going to be a missionary in India. I'm a preacher of the Presbyterian Church. Then he went to his stateroom, but somehow the Spirit of God spoke to him. He pulled out that telegram from his pocket, which he crumpled up, and he read it again. And he got down on his knees, and he surrendered himself completely to the Lord. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He surrendered everything and claimed by faith the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. John Hyde went to India, and a great revival came. He went from India to Korea. In 1902 and 1905, they had the Great Korean Revival. It started among the Presbyterian missionaries of Korea and swept Korea because one man was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, Jonathan Goforth, way up in Manchuria, heard about it. He came down, he saw the revival, and received knowledge about the Spirit-filled life. Then Goforth went back up to Manchuria, and one of the greatest revivals of all time broke out in Manchuria. Three great revivals, because one man was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Here's a question for you this morning. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Now, it is a bit of a controversial subject, but the fact that some people believe one thing about the filling of the Holy Spirit and some people believe another thing doesn't do away with the fact that it's there in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 as a command. It's a command. God commands us, be filled with the Spirit. Are we filled with the Spirit this morning? Are we obedient to that command? If not, we're committing a sin against the Almighty God. The Father in heaven is generous. He wants to give good gifts to his children. He wants to give us the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you're such a generous and kind, loving heavenly Father. Thank you that you haven't left us alone. Thank you that you live in us by your Holy Spirit. And Father, I do pray for someone here this morning who's maybe never received forgiveness, who don't have the Holy Spirit living in them, who don't have this peace and this joy which they're longing for. I pray that they would receive it this morning. And I pray for the saints here this morning who feel as if they're living a life of defeat, Lord. I pray for myself, Lord. I pray that you'd fill us all with your Holy Spirit. Please forgive us for our many, many sins. Wash us and cleanse us in the blood. And Lord, we want to give you our lives. We want to give you everything we have. We surrender all to you. And Lord God, we call now. We ask. Please give us your empowering presence so we can produce fruit in our lives, so we can tell people about Jesus, so we can proclaim his name, so we will be built up for works of service for the church, so we can pray with power and confidence and freedom, so we can praise you with passion and with joy. Oh, Lord God, please move among us for your glory. And in Jesus Christ's name we ask you this. Amen.